Matthew Stuckey here, and I'm giving you another soul winning tip. And in this video, I want to talk to you about the fact that Jesus Christ is God and the Trinity, and how do we explain these things during our gospel presentation? How much should we explain? Should we spend 10 minutes? You know, what exactly do we need to do? Now, when it comes to believing on Jesus Christ, there's kind of two things we have to believe. We have to believe that Jesus Christ would do what he said he would do, which means pay for the sins of the world. And that he is who he says he was. We must understand that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Savior. But at the same time, you know, when it comes to the nature of God and understanding these things, you know, even people that are saved, you know, have trouble understanding some of these deep things. And it's not necessarily something we have a perfect comprehension of. So what do we need to explain to people, and how do we know what to explain exactly? Now, this is something that will change depending on who you're talking to. You know, for example, if you're talking to someone who is a Muslim or a Hindu, obviously, their idea of who Jesus Christ is going to be different than a Catholic, and it's going to take more time to get them saved because they are further off the mark about the idea of Jesus Christ. Or if you talk to someone from a Christian cult, and see, the first point is this, that you know what, we need to get an idea of their religion early on. That's going to be helpful for anything that we're doing when we're explaining the gospel, of finding out what their religion is, what their church is. It's not always perfect, 2 + 3 = 5. Because you meet people from Christian cults sometimes that do believe Jesus is God, and you're wondering, are you sure you believe that? Because you're not supposed to. But you know, one thing we should try to do is get an idea of their religion or their church early on, and in the back of your head, you can think of certain things that you know might be worry signs later on, things you might need to cover in more detail. And if somebody comes from a non-Christian background or some sort of a Christian cult, you're going to probably spend a little bit more time on the nature of God to make sure they understand that than you might if you just talk to someone who is a Catholic. So one way you can start explaining this is when you talk about the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, I personally, when I say that there's none righteous, no, not one, right early on during my gospel presentation, I plant the seeds of Jesus being God because I say, but you know, Jesus Christ, he was righteous, he was good, he was perfect. That's why he was able to die for us. And so, you know, even if they don't agree that Jesus is God, that's something that they're probably going to agree to if they come from a Christian cult here in the Philippines or, you know, some sort of Christian background. And even from people from other religions often would agree with that. And so that's going to help get the idea across of Jesus being God later on. It's going to make it easier. But when you're explaining his death, you know, the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." The Bible's very clear that he laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16, it's a great verse that you could show them. But I often like to show them where it says that God was manifest in the flesh in 1 Timothy 3:16. And I'll explain that Jesus Christ came here and died and paid for our sins. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was sinless. And the reason why he was is he was God. And I'll say that the Bible says there's none good but one, that is God. Jesus Christ was good, proving that he's God. And that's what it says in Matthew 19, verse 17. I usually quote that because of the fact, you know, that verse can be confusing to people if they don't understand the context, and it could take some time to explain. But just saying there's none good but one, that is God. So Jesus Christ was good, proving that he's God. And the Bible says, you know, God was manifest in the flesh. Now, here in the Philippines, this really isn't much of an issue because 90%+ of people believe in the Trinity and believe Jesus is God. And so I'll ask them, do you believe in the Trinity, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, that there's one God, that, you know, he has eternally existed in three persons. Just as you have a body, soul, and spirit, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, but Jesus Christ was fully God when he was here on earth. And almost everybody is going to say yes to that. So this is not something I have to really focus on like I used to when I preached the gospel in the U.S., and more people seem confused on this. But I would say this, that, you know what, unless you're seeing a major worry sign from someone of a Christian background, I don't think it's a wise idea to spend 10 minutes explaining the Trinity. Because they don't have to have a perfect understanding of everything in the Bible to be saved. They just have to simply understand that Jesus Christ is God, and yet that God the Father sent God the Son to pay and die for the sins of the world. So point number one, figure out what the religion is. Point two, you know, when you explain his death, you can talk about Jesus being God. And point three, just explain God the Father sent God the Son. And when you're preaching the gospel, you're using verses that talk about believing on the Son, which shows there's obviously a Father. And, you know, the Bible says in John 3:16, which is a verse I commonly use, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so I would just suggest, as you're trying to explain Jesus Christ being God and his nature, you know, I think that, you know, some people can swing the pendulum too far in the other direction and be so worried of a potential heresy from someone that they'll make like a 45-minute gospel presentation. And I would say that is a big mistake because, you know what, when I got saved, I had never heard of the oneness doctrine. I'd never heard of the oneness doctrine for years and years and years after I got saved. And even still, there's a lot of verses that, you know, can be kind of confusing and people can interpret different ways. So what I would recommend to you is, you know, figure out what the religion is early on and kind of briefly plant those seeds of Jesus being God during the verses that you're going to explain. And then when you're talking about his death, explain that God was manifest in the flesh and that he was God because he was perfect. But also explain, you know, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Here in the Philippines, most people already believe this, so, you know, it's really just kind of confirming that they believe this. Even people that are part of the Christian cults oftentimes still have these Catholic beliefs, and, you know, praise the Lord for that. You know, the Catholic Church is right about this teaching of the Trinity. But if you do talk to someone who says things that are against this, or they're from some other religion, you're going to have to take more time. But, you know, you're going to probably have to show them a lot of different verses. And in a future video, I'll talk about really how to preach to someone of a Christian cult, or of a unique religion, or of a Hindu, or something like that. And I'll give tips and verses and ways to explain. But in your normal gospel presentation, if you're talking to some sort of Christian, you know, you don't need to spend 30 minutes preaching the gospel if they're getting stuff. Just kind of briefly get an idea if they get it. And, you know, most of them already have an understanding of the Trinity and Jesus being God. Anyways, thank you and God bless.